Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. It's good to have you with us tonight. Well, we're recording this at night, but you might be reading this in the morning. Who knows? You might be reading this after the rapture happened and you missed it. Don't miss the rapture. I've been saying this to people. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said on that day, he will look at some and say, they'll say, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's a very, very, very serious statement right there. That people who actually cast out demons and healed the sick in his name, he's going to say, I never knew you. It's not about being religious. It's about walking with God. And it's the one thing that we're going to teach you here at the Community of Faith, and that is God Almighty comes to live in you when you're born again, and he's going to lead you from the inside out, not from way up in heaven trying to get it through your thick skull. God's going to lead you from the inside out. Put himself in a place that nobody can get between you and him, because ain't nobody else can get in here unless you let bitterness or offense or hatred get down in your life. And now you let somebody in a place where they shouldn't be. But anyways, welcome. We're glad to have you. We're in the book of Romans now. And by the end of 2022, which is now 15 days left, we will finish the rest of the New Testament. And on December 31st, we will read the words, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. We'll have read the whole Bible out loud, chronologically, in 1 year. It is amazing. It is amazing. Well, here we go. Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession. Those of you that's with us on Zoom, if you want to, kick your phone on and just say it with us. This is my Bible. I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I go do what he tells me to do.
I go do what he tells me to do.
Today I will read this word.
Today I will read this word.
And it will go down into my heart.
It'll go down into my heart.
And produce life and life more abundantly.
And produce life and life more abundantly.
Because that's what it's designed to do.
Because that's what it's designed to do.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mrs. Cottle, for your assistance.
You're welcome, sir.
Love you, Lynn.
Love you too.
For those of you that don't know, that's my wife. All right, it's just being jokefully. Yeah. And she's in Michigan with her dad and having a good time. That's a wonderful thing. Here we go. Romans chapter 4. Oh, these chapters are the greatest chapters of the Bible. You've heard me say it all year, but this is going to talk about Abraham, our father, justified by faith. Chapter 5 is going to talk about the five times Jesus said we get the free gift of righteousness. And then chapter 6 is going to talk about being dead to sin, alive unto God. Chapter 7 is going to tell us that we're freed from the law, and we're going to get all this done in, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes. See how long we can go. It's good stuff, though. Some of this you got to listen to several times a day. But better than listening to the news or some of that stupidity you find on TikTok or Instagram or all those places. They're powerful tools. They're powerful tools of communication. They can take you to hell that fast. Chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say? That Abraham our father has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about in himself, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed, and he became righteous because he believed. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt that is owed. You work, you get paid. Verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him, notice that him is capitalized, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted to him for righteousness. So our Abraham, our father, believed God, and it was counted righteousness. And when you and I believe in God, it's counted to us for righteousness. Actually, in the New Testament, it's not counted to us for righteousness. We become the righteousness of God. Amazing. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Verse number 7. Blessed are those whose deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Well, in the Old Testament, God imputed their sins against him. He had to. Jesus' blood and sacrifice wasn't there yet. So, they had to just have their sins atoned for, which is what the blood sacrifice did once a year at the Day of Atonement. Verse 9, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only or upon the uncircumcised also? Well, circumcision came in the law, and Moses was 400 years not Moses. Abraham was probably 500 years. I'm going to have to figure out what that number is before the law. If one of you got the number, then type it in there. We'll say it. Sister Leanne, Brother Dan, one of you guys can search it up or even Rebecca. Verse 9, for we say that that faith was counted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Well, not while circumcised, but while he was uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. So Abraham, when he believed God and it was counted to righteousness, was not circumcised. Now then the Jews, when the law came, they were circumcised. Abraham at one point, he became circumcised. And God said, you circumcise you and all the men, and it'll be the sign, the mark of my covenant on you. All right. Verse 12, so the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also walk in the steps of the faith, which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Don't let this circumcision and circumcision confuse you. It's actually a very simple reading that we're in. 13, for the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. The law wasn't there. But through the righteousness of faith. And if you want to write a good reference in your Bible right there, write Philippians 3 through 17. That's a really good reference to run with this verse 13 all the way into the New Testament, the book of Philippians. It's a great set of verses about that. Verse 14, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect. because the law brings about wrath. For where there's no law, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I mean, literally, we're going to see it here. When Jesus said it's finished, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and all those animal sacrifices were never necessary another day. Even though they kept doing them, they were not necessary. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Verse 17, as it is written to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him, that's capitalized, whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. What is that? That's faith. You and I speak in something that is not there to come to pass, and then it shows up. And that's faith. Verse 18, Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Two great nations came from Abraham's Ishmael and Israel. 19, not being weak in faith, he didn't consider his own body already dead. He was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, fully persuaded that he, notice that he's capitalized, he God, that what he God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was counted to him, that's Abraham, it was counted to him for righteousness. And the righteousness wasn't even in that day, just obeying the law, walking with God. 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who has delivered us up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. You and I have been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. We received the righteousness of God, and our sins are not imputed against us. Chapter 5. This is one of the most amazing chapters of the New Testament. We're going to read five times that Jesus said he gives us a free gift between verses 15 and 21. Five times that Jesus gives us a free gift in five verses, six verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. Just the very fact that you say, I believe God and he's going to help me, you have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint or make you ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Faith. Faith is what gives us that hope. What is faith, Beth? You call those things that do not exist as though they do exist, and you command it to come to pass until it does. right, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, if you are under sin, you're without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That would have been us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, I mean, we weren't even on this earth, Christ died for us. How much more then, having now been justified by his blood, just as if we never sinned, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The first lesson today, it said we are saved from wrath. And here Paul's saying it again. We're saved from wrath through Jesus Christ. We have now received reconciliation. I love it. We've now been, oh wait, I forgot verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Reconciliation means to be made one with someone that you were at enmity with. Verse number 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who did him who was to come. The free gift, 15. The free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, how much more the grace of God and the free gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Adam's sin affected the whole world. Jesus righteous, and it's affected the whole world. You and I are born in Adam's sin. We're born again out of and into Jesus' righteousness. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Verse 16. The gift is not like that which comes through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. Just receive it. Say, I receive the free gift of righteousness. Woo! 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. That's what we get when we're born again. The abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. Then it says we will reign in life through the one man, Jesus the Christ. 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life, just as if I'd never sinned. Jesus was righteous, and he gives all of his righteousness to you and me to live by every day, and we get to live righteous. Not because of how good you can act, not because of how amazing you are, but because of how good he is. 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So then, as sin reigned in death, even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Doesn't matter how bad Adam's sin was. Doesn't matter how bad your sin was. Doesn't matter. If you receive the free gift of righteousness in Jesus and you claim his blood and his name, you want to be like him, you receive the free gift of righteousness. And the struggle goes away because his righteousness lives inside of you. For chapter 6, dead to sin, alive to God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in sin? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Yeah. Buried with him in baptism, raised back again to life. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You've been made a new creation, newness of life. For we've been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Now, when you compare and consider, that word reign in life is in verse 17, and it's over here in 6:12. Paul said, the Holy Spirit said, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Shout it with me. I am under grace. I love it. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Now, there's no way you can miss what Paul's saying. There's no way. Except you choose to have blinded eyes to see what the Bible actually says. If you sit down with this book and open up and say, Holy Spirit, show me, when you read certainly not, then you will realize I need to not be sinning. Rather than this whole group of people say, you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed, don't matter. No matter how hard you try, you'll never be free from sin. Well, think about the statement that's been made. If the only point where you're finally free from sin is when you die, death is your Savior, not Jesus. If the only place, the only point of your life where you're actually free from sin is when you die, death is your Savior, not Jesus. That's really good. Verse 15, what shall we say? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself a servant to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? If you're a servant of sin, it will lead you to death, and death will lead you to hell. 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sins, yet you obeyed from the heart that former doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you've become slaves of righteousness. There are so many statements of set free in 4, 5, and 6 that you've got to be willfully blind to not see God has set you totally free. 18, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your member as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You just went and did whatever. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, chapter 7, verse number 1. Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. The husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law. So that she is no adulteress, though she married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. All of this is so you and I will bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. I like that. The newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Verse number 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. It's true. Therefore, the law is holy. The commandment is holy and just and good. Verse number 13. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. For what I hate, that I end up doing. 16. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to me is present, for to will is present with me. But how to perform it, what is good, I did not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not do, to will to do, it's no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That's you, the spirit. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, the law of sin. Now, how in the world do you circle the wagon on those four chapters except say, by just simply saying, the just shall live by faith? You believe God and it's counted to you for righteousness. You'll never be good enough in your own fleshly desires, your only fleshly determination. I made a quality decision. That's good. But you don't get saved because you made a quality decision. You get saved because you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior in your life. And you walk with him every day. The rest of the stuff doesn't matter. Because it's not of works, because a man can boast. But it is of grace, because God wants to give you everything he has for you in your life. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Those of you who are with us in the Zoom room, we ask you to pray this with us as we lead the people to the prayer of salvation. No matter who you are, pray it with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, let's try it again. Everybody's reaching for that mute button. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Now here's your chance. Make a bold statement. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out, your hands up. Just say, I receive you into my life, Jesus. All of your grace and your mercy. All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I live in power. Understand the word of God.
understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
Live a successful life as a believer every day.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In
Jesus' mighty name, amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. We're glad to have you. We're really glad that you came by here and you followed the voice of the Holy Spirit when he said to come and be a part of us. We're really glad you did that, because this is a powerful place to be connected, and this is a good group of believers to be connected to right here. Now, if you're looking for a perfect church with a perfect group of people and a perfect life, well, we're perfect according to what Jesus said perfection was, but we are all doing this one thing, and that is pressing toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus, and we'll not stop pressing. We're not going back and starting again the foundation. Once we get this foundation laid, we go on under perfection. And take the land that belongs to us, and we welcome you. You might imagine what's going on inside me. Jesus, God Almighty, and Holy Spirit just came to live on the inside of you. When you said, I receive you into my life, you got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. According to John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, and John chapter 17. The Father wants you to be one with him. Now, you're going to have to chase him. You're going to have to read his book. You're going to have to talk to him all day long, every day. He's got a book with your name written on it. And very specific verses in that book say what exactly you should be doing right here, right now, today. If you find yourself in a position where you might be like, man, Pastor, I'm way off what God wants me to be doing, that's all right. He restores the years the locusts have eaten. He knows it's the enemy just trying to his best to keep you from becoming what he made you. And he not only is going to forgive any sin you committed, he's going to restore the years and cause you to stand in a way you never knew possible. Somebody ought to shout glory, hallelujah, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. You might say, how do I walk with God?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. How do I walk with God, Pastor? Wake up every morning and the first thing you do is start talking to the Father. Father, good morning. I do it every morning. Good morning, Father. Then I always go into Psalm 103. I like that one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and remember all of his benefits. And then I start listening to him, and then there's a point in there somewhere where I just shout, hallelujah! I might even get up out of bed and just dance a little bit. Why? Because God's promises are true. They cannot fail. They cannot fail. His promise is true. And God himself just came to live inside of you, to lead you from the inside out. And he will not fail. Shoot me an email. Tell me your story. Ask me a question or a thousand, because we want to be a blessing to you in many ways. Got some good videos for you to listen to. And Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, that's a set of verses you should read every day out loud. I mean, two or three times in a day, you can get yourself to it. Because the more faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. The more the word you speak out loud, the more of it gets down in here and transforms your life. Well, that's all we got. Not really. We got a lot more to say, but this is read the word, not preach the word. Until we see you again, this is Kool-Aid. Remember, like, subscribe, hit the bell, and be here. If you've come upon this after the rapture, and all of a sudden you realize, you know what? I have missed the rapture. Man, find every video of mine you can find. Study them deeply and truly, truly begin to follow after the ways of God. He's there. He'll still help you. All of us Christians are gone. But you'll find some more believers. Get yourself connected to him. And then the middle point of the middle day of the 7-year tribulation, what is day number 1260, whatever it is. He's coming back to receive another rapture. And so be encouraged in the Lord and walk with God every day. And don't miss the rapture. Don't miss the rapture. And if you do, don't condemn yourself. Just start walking with God and say, I found this preacher, and I'm going to make all the videos so they're downloadable, so you can download them right on your computer and learn to walk with God. I know it's kind of scary what I'm saying, but it needs to be said so that people will get a wake-up call. This is real. This is not a joke. Documented from Genesis to Revelation. And we're that close, folks. We're that close. Till we see again, we say, remember this, we love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Amen.